Our call to worship is Psalm 86, verses 11 through 13. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever, for your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Lord, I thank you for these words, and I thank you for this message that you've given to us. I pray that you'll help us all to live in your truth, and then to share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to date myself just a little bit. And whoever raises their hand to the next question is also going to date yourself. How many of you remember the game show, To Tell the Truth? To Tell the Truth. Okay? About half of you. If you remember anything about the game show, there were three people, one with some importance, and they all claimed to be the same person. You remember that? They'd all stand up there and they would say, my name is Bruce Miller, my name is Bruce Miller, my name is Bruce Miller, and then they'd explain what Bruce Miller did, and they would have all the contestants go down, and they would sit at the desk, and then four celebrities then would ask questions of these people, and then the celebrities had to guess who was the right Bruce Miller. We're going to watch just a little bit. We're not going to listen to the questions. We're going to try to keep this under about 2 minutes, but we have three guys on the screen, and I took one from, I think it was 1957. Yes, they had TV back then.
What is your name, please?
My name is Jean Béliveau.
What is your name, please?
My name is Jean Béliveau.
What is your name, please?
My name is Jean Béliveau.
Two of these people are imposters. Only one of them is the real Jean Béliveau and is the only one sworn to tell the truth. And here is our host, Bud Collier.
Thank you very much, and good evening, and welcome once again to our game of deliberate misrepresentation, wherein our panel endeavors to figure out which one of three challengers has sworn to tell the truth. To Tell the Truth is brought to you each week by Geritol, America's number one tonic, the high-potency tonic that helps you feel stronger fast. And now let's meet our cross-examiners. What is your name, please?
My name is Polly Bergen.
My name is Ralph Bellamy.
My name is Kitty Carlisle.
And my name is High Gardner.
Now, these three gentlemen all claim to be Jean Béliveau. Only one, of course, is the real Jean Béliveau. The other two have merely assumed that identity, and they do not have to stick to the truth. Now, panel, in front of you on your desk, you'll find a copy of an affidavit. Will you please follow along while I read from the original? I, Jean Béliveau, am first string center for the world champion Montreal Canadiens hockey team. Before I turned professional in 1953, Life magazine referred to me as the most valuable rookie in the history of amateur hockey. In four full seasons of professional play since then, I have won the Hart Trophy, the Ross Trophy, I've been elected to the league all-star team three times, and have scored more goals in one season than any other center in the record book. Signed, Jean Béliveau. Now, panel, as you heard, these three gentlemen all claim to be Jean Béliveau, star hockey player. Only the real Jean Béliveau is required to answer your questions truthfully. You will again, as usual, each question until you hear this signal, and at the end of the questioning period, you will be asked, now, which one of these gentlemen is the star hockey player? So will the real Jean Béliveau please stand up?
Number one.
Number two. Number two.
Bob?
I'll come to it in just a second. I want to first find out about the others. Number one, could you tell us who you are and what you really do?
My name is Paul Chamberlain, and I am a television director in the French section of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Montreal.
And number three, what about you, sir?
My name is Gusignac. I'm a hairstylist for Pierre Jesse in New York.
Just Ralph, make it quick.
Can I ask if number one and number three have their pants on backwards?
Gentlemen, do you have your pants on backwards?
No.
What on earth was that all about? Our text today is Romans 9, 6 through 13. We're going to find the same sort of thing happening in our text that we saw on this show. Who is the right person? You know, when we think about the Israelites, we think of the chosen people, right? God's chosen people. But this text, we're going to find out that maybe there's a little bit more to being God's chosen person than just being a descendant. So maybe the question we ought to ask is, are you a child of the King? Let's read it, Romans 9, 6-13. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descendants from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of the promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, and she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose to his choice would stand, not because of the works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text, and I pray that as we understand a little bit more what it means to be a child of God today, I pray that you'll help us to trust you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lori and I have four children, Nathan, Christy, April, and Luke. And they're all very different, right? Parents, all of your kids are very different from each other. And yet, they come from the same person, the same people. And there's resemblance of both Lori and me. It's the same with Abraham's children. They're Abraham's descendants. There's a resemblance there, but on the other hand, there's a difference there too. And so in the truth, and to tell the truth, the two imposters could do anything possible to win the vote. They could lie. They could cheat somehow, or they could change the outcome of the vote. But the one who was sworn to tell the truth, the one true person, he had to tell the truth at all costs. He is sworn to tell the truth. So if you live by faith today, listen very carefully. If you live by faith, then you will live by the truth and not as an imposter. Someone who wants you to make believe that you are a part of the truth. Abraham was given a promise way back in Genesis 17, Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be my father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but it will be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you make nations of you. The kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be the God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings and the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Abraham's seed was the chosen people. And salvation comes through the Jews. Salvation comes through the Jews. Listen to what Jesus tells the woman, the Samaritan woman in John 4. "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation comes from the Jews." Listen to the next two verses. "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And then Paul picks this same theme up in Romans chapter 3, which we looked at, believe it or not, over a year ago, July 24th, 2015, Romans 3, verses 27 through 31. And this is what it says. "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law." So it's pretty clear that we need to be more than descendants of Abraham to be a child of God. There's something more. It's faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything out of today's message, I don't even want you to remember the little video clip. As silly as that was. Truth to tell the truth. I want you to remember what's found in Matthew chapter 1. Does anybody know any Bible scholars? What's in chapter 1 of Matthew? A genealogy. Now, isn't that interesting? Why would I want you to listen to a genealogy? Did you know that in the line of Jesus, there are non-Jews? Did you know that? Did you also know that there are sinners? Redeemed? That's what Jesus is all about. Redemption. It doesn't really matter what you've done today, as long as you trust in Jesus. Put your trust in him. You've repented from your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and follow him. Jesus is in the business of redemption. Look at Matthew 1, verse 5. Solomon, I'm not saying it right, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother is Rahab. Who's Rahab? A harlot, a prostitute from Jericho, not even a Jew, not even an Israelite. And she is in the lineage of Jesus. Matthew 1, 6, David, father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Who's Uriah's wife? Huh? Is somebody saying it? Bathsheba. Who was part of an affair that David had, who is now the mother of Solomon, one of the greatest kings ever lived. We do not become a part of God's family simply by being a descendant of Israel. Now, the children of Israel are God's chosen people. Don't misunderstand me. But you, as a Gentile, can have a part. Can have a part. Can have eternal life with God. Look at Galatians 3, 26 to 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, and you belong to Christ. Then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So what do you think? When Abraham was given that promise, do you think that he understood the full magnitude of what he was being promised? I don't think so. But listen to Galatians 3, 7 through 9. This is an incredible text. Memorize it if you have time. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preaching the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. All the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of the faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Abraham was accredited for his faith. In Hebrews 11, did he know Jesus personally? Well, was Jesus alive then? He didn't know Jesus, but he had faith that there was something more. He had his faith in a city that wasn't built yet. Heaven for all of us who trust in him. Simply put, today we are all sinners, every single one of us. But yet we can walk with God through faith in Jesus Christ so that we will not perish. Paul and Silas were in prison. Do you remember this story? Paul and Silas in prison. And the jail keeper asked a very important question. What was that question? What must I do to be saved? What did Paul and Silas say? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. That's what we need to know to be a descendant of Abraham. That's what we need to do to be a child of God today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3, 16 through 18, in closing today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him is judged already is judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So where do you put your trust? Do you put your trust in how good you are? Look what I've done. Or do you put your trust in what Jesus has done? The only provider of salvation. Whether you are Jew or Greek, rich or poor, doesn't matter. We're all sinners. Put your trust in Jesus. Yeah. And tell the truth. Amen. So listen very carefully, Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 8, and many of you know what the first three verses are that I'm going to read. I'm going to read all the way to verse 13, but it says, for grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. What was the law of the Israelites based on? works. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, who were formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? We were lost, but not anymore. Now you believe in Jesus Christ because of what He did for us. Amen.